The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, each year in the run-up to Christmas, I end up having a conversation with somebody, or reading a newspaper article, or something on the internet, that Christmas is all about family. Somebody will always say it. In fact, I went to an event last week where the talk was, "It's all about family." Well, as Christmas is a great time for family and family gatherings, if that is all it's about, then we're missing something, totally and utterly missing something. And what about those people this Christmas who have no family? If it's all about family, should they even bother celebrating? The idea that it's all about family also adds pressure for people to travel ridiculous distances to make sure they get to see the family. Pre-ministry, we were living in the northeast. By the northeast, I mean on the northeast coast, Whitley Bay. Somebody's got to, haven't they? It's improved since we left, but that's probably nothing to do with us. And we'd be there, we'd spend Christmas Day at home, and then Boxing Day, we'd start the trek. And that trek would be a visit down to Northamptonshire to see Brenda's parents, just off at Junction 18 of the M1 near the Blue Boar service station, because Brenda was born near the Blue Boar service station. And then at some point we'd go on a visit to Leeds to see my family. Then there was the presents. Where does it end? How many generations do we buy for? Because after all, Christmas is all about family. And it adds pressure to an already stressed and stretched family life. And add into that mix the oh so many families that are divided. The families where people don't speak to each other. If Christmas is all about family, I actually think we should ban it. Because it's too much stress, too much pressure, too many miles on the clock of the car. I'm not denying or criticizing the desire to be with families, to get together at this time of year. It's actually a good thing to do. Rather, I'm questioning if that's all that Christmas is about. We're missing something. Yet Christmas is about a family. It's about a family that was living in the Middle East some 2,000 years ago, where Mary, the mother, had a child. And she was a teenage unmarried mother. And in those days, a teenage unmarried mother was not a good thing to be. You could be stoned to death for it. That's what we're talking about. He was born in poverty, hunted as a fugitive, fled as a refugee to another country. And each year we remember that family. We retell the story, we sing the familiar songs, we celebrate. But do we realize the significance of what we are celebrating? Because once there was a prophet who lived a few hundred years before the first Christmas, whose name was Isaiah, and he said, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." That was our first reading this morning. And then that Christmas angel came and spoke to the man, Joseph, who would raise this child as his own, and said that Mary, your betrothed, your fiancé, is going to have a baby. And it's to be called Emmanuel, God with us. That was our second reading. We know the story, we sing the songs, and it gives us a warm Christmassy feeling. As I was told as I walked past the Woolpack yesterday on my evening constitutional, oh, it was great. It felt all Christmassy. But it isn't just a name. It's a name with a great meaning. God with us. It's important to know, God could have stayed aloof in heaven, but didn't. He came to earth in the form of a baby, Jesus, Emmanuel, to be God with us. He knew what it was like to be a human being. He knew what it was like to be one of us, to be tempted, to laugh with friends, to go to parties and to weddings, to attend funerals and cry. God came down to earth at Christmas as Jesus, known as Emmanuel, God with us. That was the start of the life of Jesus. And missing out everything in between, we see Jesus on a hillside speaking with his disciples just before the end of Matthew, where he says to them, "I am with you always to the end of the age." I love the fact that Matthew puts almost like a set of bookends round his gospel. At the beginning, Emmanuel, God with us. At the end, I am with you always. Every time I read Matthew, I marvel at that. God with us, I am with you. Holding everything else in between together. And as lots happened in the in-between, you know, between the God with us and I am with you, lots happened to demonstrate what it means for God to be with us. His teaching, his stories, his miracles, his death and his resurrection. Jesus came to declare that the kingdom of God is near. In doing so, he gives us an opportunity to participate in that kingdom now, to know that God is with us, and to walk with God. As a Christian, there are two services, well, actually three services, I suppose, when I think about it, although I only wrote two down here. Three services that I would really struggle to miss because they're sort of bookends of my faith. And they speak of God being with us and found in Jesus. The first is Christmas Day, when we celebrate what is known as the Incarnation, God becoming a human being and being with us. And then the other one is Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Because really, I don't like the sort of come together, don't they? The day when we celebrate resurrection and know that God is with us. Both speak to us of God with us. God that is perfectly revealed in Jesus as a baby and in the risen Lord. Which is why today we have both a cradle and a table before us. The cradle reminds us of God with us. Emmanuel, Jesus, his birth. And the table with bread and wine reminds us of Jesus' death and resurrection, knowing that because of that, God is with us still. Therefore, this Christmas, in the midst of the tinsel and the lights, the food and the family, spare a thought for Jesus. No matter what you've been through this year, the high points and the low points, may you know that in Jesus, God is revealed and he promises to be with us all in everything. Amen.